Welcome to the podcast. It's a pleasure to introduce a very special guest who will join me today, Larry Kolakoff. Larry is an economist at Boston University, works on a range of topics. He's a best-selling co-author of Get What's Yours, The Secrets to Maxing Out Your Social Security. He's authored 20 plus books, has written for all the essential media outlets, has a great newsletter and podcast at larrykolakoff.substack.com. Most recent is his award-winning Money Magic, an economist's secrets to more money, less risk, and a better life. He's the founder of maxify.com and maximizemysocialsecurity.com, which are software tools that do lifetime financial planning, including lifetime Social Security benefit optimization. Please welcome my good friend, Larry.
Great to be back with you, Chris.
I want to spend some time talking about interest rate protection. And, you know, we've spoken about this separately outside of the podcast, and it is a topic that is getting a lot more, traction, possibly not so interesting to talk about, you know, tips 10 plus years ago. But, you know, now there is a real concern to think about inflation. And you mentioned number 14 in your 50 key tips is a sure way to beat the market is to buy I-bonds. And so what I'd like you to sort of flesh out a little bit is how you think about I-bonds and how to think about I-bonds versus tips or some sort of ETF product that can establish or have the same effect in terms of, interest rate protection. And you know, what are your thoughts in terms of the percentage of allocation with the total portfolio to an inflation-protected process or strategy like I-bonds or TIPS?
Well, this is a timely question because right now, as we're talking, the yield on 30-year TIPS is about 2.5%. It's as high as it's been for decades. So this is really the time for especially retirees to think about moving out of risky investments, including the stock market, and going into and just kind of calling that casino quits, even though it's a terrific casino on average, but has huge ups and downs, because you can lock in a 30-year real payment, inflation adjusted, at 2.5% real. The risk with TIPS, as the risk is with any investment really, is that inflation will be higher in the future. And so with the TIPS, you get a higher coupon payment. It gets adjusted every year in light of the inflation. So that's a good thing. But on the other hand, you have to pay taxes every year on this adjustment. Even though you might not be cashing out your TIP yet, it's a 30-year thing, or maybe just holding it to maturity, you're having to pay taxes along the path. So that's kind of like phantom income. That's true if you're buying a 30-year nominal bond as well, or if you get capital gains on your stocks because of inflation, because the value of the products go up and therefore the value of the stock goes up. The government's taxing nominal asset income. It's not taxing real asset income. So there is a risk from any investment due to inflation. Some aspects of our tax system are inflation indexed, or the brackets are indexed, but the asset income is not adjusted to real terms. It's nominal. So that's true with I-bonds, and that's true with TIPS, and it's also true of mutual funds or ETFs that are holding a portfolio of TIPS. Now, if you have these things inside you cannot have I-bonds inside your let's say your retirement account, your IRA or your 401k, but you can hold mutual funds of TIPS. That will defer the taxation, the taxation of the real return as well as the nominal return, as well as the inflation component. So that's a good thing. So you can kind of protect yourself against the inflationary tax as well as the tax on the real income by just deferring it, leaving it in your IRA and letting it ride. But eventually, when you take the money out, there will be a tax of everything that's withdrawn that's based on the nominal withdrawal. So the issue with holding individual TIPS in let's say an IRA, you have to, you buy them through a brokerage account. You can't buy them through what's called Treasury Direct, but you can buy them, you can set up a brokerage account, like with Fidelity or Vanguard, some big company that doesn't have some Madoff guy running around about to screw you in the brokerage. So a trustworthy brokerage. And then you can buy the individual securities, and then they're there and they're earning interest and the inflation protection without any taxation until you withdraw. If you buy mutual funds or ETFs, they're very short maturities. So you can get this high return, 2.5% right now, because the term structure is pretty flat in terms of the real return. You can get about 2.5%, but the average length of the maturity is about 7 years as opposed to 30 years. So if you want to lock in this real income for 30 years, you want to buy the 30-year chips. The I-bonds, you can't buy them within these tax-favored accounts, but you can buy up to 10. Each spouse and child can buy up to a $10,000 I-bond.
There's a cap, right? 10,000, right?
It's capped at 10,000. There's some ability to go beyond that based on using your tax return to buy I-bonds. I won't get into those details, but the I-bonds have the advantage that the government doesn't set the interest rate based on the market. They just declare an interest rate, and every 6 months they declare an interest rate. And typically these declarations are pretty good. In other words, they're declaring something that's a better return than if you bought a 6 month TIP, if you were able to buy a short-term TIP, or a TIP that had 6 months left duration. So that's a good thing. The bad thing is that you don't know what the new rate's going to be declared 6 months from now. So the good thing is that if you leave the money, if you take the money out, I don't think you can withdraw the money before 1 year, is my recollection of the rules. But then once you have gone beyond 1 year, you can leave the money, you can take the withdrawals, you can sell the I-bond and then get your money out, or you could sell, but you can also just not sell it, and that's a deferral. So that's like the tax advantage of having money into an IRA, because if you buy this I-bond and you don't sell it, then you're not having to pay taxes on the coupon that's coming to you until you sell the principal with any accumulated coupons. That's when you're going to have to pay taxes. So there's some tax advantages to the I-bond.
Tax advantages, but limitations, right, in terms of how much you can buy, which kind of leads me to the ultimate, question about how much, right? If I think about the famous paper by B. Bauer and Gary Brinson on asset allocation, right, being determining 80-90% of the returns of a portfolio. If you think about a 60-40 portfolio, let's just say, assuming that's a 60-40 portfolio going into retirement or in retirement, how do you think about the percentage allocation to an inflation-protected strategy like TIPS?
If I'm still working, I have a pretty safe asset, which is my labor income. And then when I hit retirement, I've got a smaller safe asset called Social Security. And then TIPS are, if I take some of my, let's say, risky assets like stocks and put them into TIPS, now I'm building more safe income. So I look at this through the lens of, again, my company software. We have a version of our tool called Upside Investing, where you can, where the program is pretty cool. It says, let's have you tell the program how much you want to put in the stock market and how much you want to put in TIPS, okay? Tell us how much you're going to put in the casino here, and then tell us when you're going to leave the casino. When are you going to start withdrawing from the stock market? When will you stop withdrawing? So maybe you're now 55, and you tell the program, starting at 75 for the next 10 years, I'm going to start withdrawing from the stock market, maybe 70 for over 15 years. I'll take a 15th out when I'm 70 and a 14th out when I'm 71. And every time the program says, well, that when you withdraw from the stock market, the program will convert that into TIPS. So you'll be withdrawing and buying TIPS. So here's the key thing though, Chris, which is that the program assumes or requires or has you spend just out of your TIPS. So you're 55, you've got
out
a chunk
of, out of your safest or more most secure assets, right?
Yeah, so it never has you spend out of anything that's risky. It treats the stock market money as completely lost. It's super, super risk averse, okay?
I'm going to challenge you a little bit in the sense that you refer to the stock market as the casino, and I know how critical you are of our current state of government and Congress and the potential for default on our own debt, and you've got treasury inflation protected securities. How do you balance, are these risks at a sort of an equilibrium? Is there one side of the equation that's a bit more risky than the other side in your opinion? I mean, you know, granted you've got, and I see your point about combining Social Security, which is probably the safest inflation protected stream of income for almost everybody, in combination, if I'm hearing you correctly, with a strategy for TIPS, right? So you should consider that holistically in terms of that allocation. But do you view both of these risks the same?
Well, that's a really good question. I think that, you know, nothing's absolutely certain, right? I do think that we'll likely renege on Social Security before we renege on our treasuries. I can't say that for sure. There is a real concern about Social Security solvency. And, you know, if you look at the trustees report, there's a $65.9 trillion amount of red ink in that program. So what I guess I'm saying here is that if you can find through TIPS or real estate that you're quite confident, if you maybe have some rental property, through other kinds of investments that you feel are quite safe, a way to build, to have a safe investment and then not spend out of the risky money, then what the program, this upside investing module of the program, will do is build a living standard floor out of your safe investments, treat everything that's risky as lost until it's found. And then when it'll run Monte Carlo simulations and start withdrawing, when it starts withdrawing, it'll show you how much upside to your living standard you'll have under these different scenarios about how well the stock market does. So this is called upside investing because there's only upside to your living standard. And the interesting thing is in the cases I've run, you could put somebody like 55 could put a relatively small share of their assets in the stock market, like 20%, have 80% in TIPS or something else that's safe. You know, your point is well taken that TIPS may not actually be all that safe for tax reasons and also default reasons. But I'll put that to the side. Just 20% in the stock market in cases I've run can give you a very good upside. And you can see this physically, you know, in the program, you can see the degree of upside. It doesn't take a lot of money because the thing about this is that it's eliminating sequence of return risk to a large extent because the money is in the stock market pot. It's just accumulating. You're not spending out of it either explicitly by withdrawing from it or implicitly by spending down your other assets because of that money in the stock market. You're just letting it ride, and therefore you're not taking out money when the stock market drops, and therefore when it goes back up, suffering the consequences of not having as much in there to appreciate. So that's the sequence of return risk. You eliminate that pretty much by this strategy. So I would say, there are three ways to get into inflation indexed securities. The TIPS, I would say, if you're going to buy TIPS, 30-year TIPS seem pretty damn good right now. There are the I bonds that have certain advantages, and if you can do the TIPS inside your IRA or 401k probably is not going to come with a brokerage account. So it might from some employers that they might let you buy individual tips.
Some of them do. Some you have to have, I think, the provision to buy ETFs, and a lot of them have limitations that you cannot purchase ETFs through the brokerage window, or some of them do at least.
Yeah, and ETFs would be a kind of a combination of different maturities of tips, and then you have the issue of the person running that fund. How are they going to kind of sell the wrong maturities and buy the, you know, are they going to lose money for you? Because they're not just buying and holding, they're trying to maximize the return based on their own sense of what's going to do well. And that's not really what you want here. And just to be clear on that, on why an inflation index bond would, leaving away aside taxes, would yield you a steady stream of income, and then there's a principal payment at the end in real terms. Even though this, let's say the price of the interest rates could be going up or down, or the price of the tip would go down or up if you were to sell it today. But if you hold it, you'll get the steady stream. Why is that? Well, the reason is that the end payment is pinned down, and the payments along the way are real. And well, how could that be if the price of the thing goes down today because the interest rates went up in the market, and this was, you know, yielding an old interest rate? Well, the yield goes up at the same time the price goes down. So the higher yield times the lower price gives you the same coupon. That's the way to think about that. So a bond is different from a stock because stocks don't have some terminal for sure payoff, whereas a bond does.
Sure.
This is
sure.
Kind of how to think about the difference.
Well, we'll spend some more time at a later episode, I think, discussing sort of the optimizing the income. Of course, that's the purpose, right? Ultimately of what Maxify Planner does. And I really appreciate your insights. I think the three big takeaways here is home ownership still makes sense for a variety of reasons, including the idea of paying off a mortgage by using either savings or even potentially IRA, Roth, retirement account funds, unless, of course, you're that fortunate that you have got a mortgage at 1 7/8. And your insights with regard to inflation protection with I-bonds and TIPS is really, really helpful. More than that, I think the answer is that you can just go into the software, plug in the assumptions, and you quickly are able to get the results that you can see with regard to how it affects upside investing or, you know, your discretionary income. So, Maxify Planner, Larry Kotlikoff, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to our next episode, and so we can discuss some more of these really interesting topics. Thanks again.
Great. My pleasure, Chris. Thank you.